In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Grace Lutheran Church in Boulder. Welcome to those of you who are here all the time. Welcome to those of you who might have just found us recently. Welcome to those of you who are just trolling through all the different congregations that happen to be broadcasting worship these days that weren't, you know, a year ago. Welcome. It's good to have you, everybody, here with us through the magic of the technology. I want to invite you to get some bread and wine or grape juice for worship this morning if you don't have some on your home altar already. We will be offering the opportunity to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion later in the liturgy, and so I want to make sure that you are ready for that. A couple of other things that are going on around here. First, Grace's choir has been, for a few weeks, rehearsing on Wednesday evenings. That rehearsal, through the magic of Zoom, like we're doing right now, That rehearsal is not going to be happening this week. There is no choir rehearsal this week, so you get some freedom. I imagine if some of y'all wanted to just connect with each other and sing together on Zoom, you could do that, but there won't be a choir rehearsal directed here from the sanctuary. Reformation Sunday is 2 weeks from now. Reformation Sunday, when we celebrate, that's right, right? Yeah, when we celebrate God's Holy Spirit moving through the church in surprising ways, one of the things that we're going to do here at Grace is I'm going to invite you to pose questions that you have to the church. They could be questions about anything, but you're going to pose them to the church, and you're welcome to do that either in the Zoom chat when we get to that part of the liturgy in 2 weeks from now, or if you're uncomfortable making your question public in that kind of a way, you're welcome to email them either to me or to Amy before Sunday happens so that they'll be available. And then we'll, if you want them to be anonymous, we can post them in the chat without anybody's name attached to them. Then the following Sunday, the first Sunday of November, is All Saints Sunday. All Saints Day, when we remember those blessed dead who have come to the end of their baptismal journey over the past year. So one of the things that we'll do here at Grace is we will name those folks who have been part of our community, either immediate community here at Grace or extended community. We'll name them and remember them in our prayers. So if there's somebody who's beloved to you who has come to the end of their baptismal journey over the past year, please let us know who they are sometime between now and between now and Reformation Sunday. How's that? Our partner in ministry for this month here at Grace is the Lutheran Family Services of the Rocky Mountains. Lutheran Family Services is an organization of the Lutheran Church that has been active for decades, serving those who are in need and who are underserved in our communities. You think immediately of adoptions of little tiny cute babies and of refugee resettlement. Lutheran Family Services does so much more than that, but those are the things that come to my mind immediately. And so I invite you to make a contribution to Lutheran Family Services of the Rocky Mountains through the Grace's Partner in Ministry program. And remember, the Grace Foundation will match the first $2,000 that we receive for a Partner in Ministry contribution through the month, so that those dollars go much further. This week on Wednesday, we do not have evening prayer, but watch your Wednesday YouTube for reflection and or devotion, whatever you want to call it, about the psalm for next Sunday. I'll be posting that sometime by the end of Wednesday. So I invite you to watch that. We turn now to worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all of creation. Amen. Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We hoard your gift of salvation for ourselves. Make us humble, cast away our transgressions, and turn us again to life in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. People of God, God hears the cries of those who call out in need. And through the death and resurrection of Christ, our Savior grants mercy to all creation. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit, may we live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the
pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading for today is from Isaiah 25. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Plans formed of old, faithful and sure. You have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The place of aliens, a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in dry place. You subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, a rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. He will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the grace of his people will take away, he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. We read Psalm 23 responsively by verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 4. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled besides me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they made light of it and went away. One to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged, He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. People of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So, for some context about what's going to happen, last week someone made a suggestion. But let's back up because you need some context to understand the suggestion, right? So, for those who don't remember last week, or for those who, you know, can't remember because you weren't here, what happened last week was like a week and a half ago, someone in my household came down with strep. And I didn't feel sick at all, but given the incubation period of strep, I didn't want to expose anyone to sickness unnecessarily if I also, unbeknownst to me, had strep. So, plus, we were waiting for our COVID test results to come back as well when I planned to not be here in this space last week, but instead to preach and preside from my living room. So instead of coming into the sanctuary, I was at home. And instead of being this far away from the camera, I was much closer. So the piece of feedback that I received is that at least two people appreciated seeing me closer up. I questioned their judgment about wanting to see me closer up, but that's a whole separate issue. They didn't like me quite as far away, and so they wanted me to be closer up. So we figured today, what if we switch things up just a little bit, and I get a little bit closer. So here we are, a little bit closer, and we'll see what we think about that. And I know we're not actually physically any closer at all. I mean, we're just as far away from each other as we were 15 seconds ago, but it feels a little more intimate to me, and I hope maybe it does to you. See, because one of the beautiful things about our relationship with God is that God invites us into intimate relationship. I mean, of course, God is almighty and giant, and the hem of God's garment fills the temple. But God, at the same time as being almighty and huge and all-powerful and far away, it seems like, God is also incarnate, intimate, nearby, and among us. I'm sure you've experienced this truth that I'm about to talk about, even if you haven't thought through it. But I think that most of us understand and realize that one thing about relationship is that if you sit down and eat together with someone or with a group of people, relationship deepens. There's an intimacy that you discover when you eat together, that's much more difficult and takes a lot longer to get to otherwise. I don't know if there's any science behind that, but it's just true. I've certainly experienced it. Now, I'm not talking about people who interact irresponsibly or disrespectfully when you're sitting down to have dinner. I'm not talking about
if you happen to be eating with a bully who flips your tray over in the middle school lunchroom, or I'm not talking about if you end up going on a creepy date with somebody on a blind date who treats you badly because they're too full of themselves. I'm talking about people who enter into the eating together relationship respectfully and curiously. And just tangentially right now, I also have wondered for a couple of decades what our political reality in this country would be like if those who find themselves on the political left and those who find themselves on the political right went to barbecues together on a regular basis and just never talked about politics, but asked about baseball games that their kids play and whether the trombone is better than the trumpet or anything like that. And also, I wonder if today's invitations to feasting that we see in the scripture readings, I wonder if today's invitations to feeding are invitations to intimacy with God and with one another. There's, because there's a whole bunch of feasting in the readings for today. Psalm 23, I imagine you've probably heard of Psalm 23. If not, go back and read it. It's in the bulletin. But Psalm 23, God is setting a feast table for us. And God's setting this feast table for us in the valley of the shadow of death. And God is setting this feast table for us in the presence of our enemies. And God's inviting us to sit down in these dangerous places and feast. And today or yesterday, I wondered if those enemies that God set the table in the presence of, I wonder if those enemies became friends after everybody had dinner together. And the Isaiah text tells us about God's destruction of unjust cities and nations and tearing everything down. And then the Isaiah text tells us that in the midst of that destruction, God will make a feast of the very best food and drink. A feast to which everyone is invited. You saw that, right? It's not just a feast for the victorious. It's not just a feast for those who are in God's care when God is victorious over those who are destructive and evil and unjust. On this mountain, the Lord will make a feast for all peoples. All peoples. But then, the feast in Matthew, the feast in the gospel reading is either fascinating or baffling or disturbing. I mean, the beginning, the king has this wedding feast for his son, and nobody comes at the king's invitation. Nobody shows up. They've got other better stuff to do. I mean, which you could maybe understand because we all get busy, right? And we all have our calendars full. And if the king just issued the invitation, well, you know, I don't have time because I've got some stuff to do. And I wish I could make it, but I can't. I mean, you could almost see that. But then the baffling and confusing part is that those people who don't come to the wedding feast, their situation is destroyed by the king's troops, which is a little problematic for me. I don't know what to make of that. But anyway, after that, he sends his servants back out to find whoever they can, go into the streets and collect all the people. All the people. And so the party fills up. And they've got a whole bunch of people there, apparently, which seems great. It's fantastic. Until that one guy. Until the king comes in and sees that one guy. You know that guy without the wedding robe? And I thought to myself, and every time I read this, I think to myself, what? What? He was invited off the street. He didn't even get an invitation an hour or two ahead of time. He was invited off the street and he comes straight to the wedding feast. And where would he get a wedding robe from? He's just coming from work. He was in the factory all day and he's wearing his blue collar with his grubby clothes that have grease all over them because he's been fixing the machinery so that they can produce more widgets. Or maybe he was just coming home from the gym and his clothes are all sweaty and he's dripping and he smells bad because he's been working out. Or maybe he smells bad because he's been wearing the same clothes for a month because he doesn't have a home to live in and he doesn't have anywhere to clean himself up and take a shower. And so he comes to the wedding feast because he's been invited to, but then gets kicked out because of how he is. The king kicks him out, pulls back his hospitality, which is problematic for me. I don't know what to make of it, except to say that I'm not sure in this parable that the king is actually supposed to be a stand-in for God. Because the king does not look like the God who I know. When Jesus says at the beginning of the parable, verse 2, if you want to look at it, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to, doesn't sound like the same thing to me as the kingdom of God is like, but it can be compared to. And so I wonder if Jesus means, no, go ahead, compare the two. Compare this king who doesn't look very good because he's destroyed people and kicked this guy out because he didn't have a wedding robe on. Compare this king to the God who you know. Compare this king who sort of looks hospitable, but at the end of the day really isn't, to the God, the living God of all the universe, who truly is welcoming and hospitable to all. I wonder if Jesus means compare the two. Compare this arbitrary and narcissistic king to the life-giving, living God of all the universe. Because, see, the God that I know is one who set the table with rich food, is the one who set the table with well-aged wine strained clear, and is the one who sets this table for me and for my enemies in the valley of the shadow of death. The God I know is one who opens the kingdom of heaven to all. The God I know is one who reminds us to rejoice and not worry, because God is near to us, intimate with us, bringing us peace that passes all human understanding, which we feel and know and understand without understanding in the very depths of our being. You see, because the living God of all the universe has arms that are open wide, embracing all, no matter what. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Thank you.
us, still we come to the hungry feast.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Gracious host, fill your church with a spirit of joyous hospitality. We pray for bishops, teachers, church leaders, and all children of God as we invite others to your table of boundless grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, as creation waits with eager longing for redemption, protect your creatures that are mistreated. Restore valleys, mountains and pastures, and still and running waters. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, as you set a table in the presence of enemies, so bless the efforts of diplomats, international peace workers, and world leaders who navigate conflict. May they proceed with dialogue and understanding so that justice and peace prevails. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, let your gentleness be known among those who are weary or ill. Strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to their needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, when we are quick to judge outward appearance, remind us how you clothe all in your mercy. We pray for ministries that provided needed clothing and other personal care assistance in the Boulder community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, as we remember those who have died and are gathered at the heavenly banquet, comfort us with your presence. Assure us of your peace at all times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you and with those on the digital media. You know how to do that. Peace and love.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have set before us these gifts of your good creation. Prepare us for your heavenly banquet. Nourish us with this rich food and drink, and send us forth to set tables in the midst of a suffering world, through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O God. Through your beloved servant, Jesus Christ, you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born of Mary and shared our human nature. With loving arms outstretched upon the cross for us, Jesus broke the chains of evil, death, and destruction. By the resurrection, your will was fulfilled, and you gathered a holy people together to offer you praise. So, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of glory and might, in heaven and earth, I full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in thy name, O Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
To you indeed be glory, Almighty God, for on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus gathered with his friends for a meal that remembers and anticipates freedom. On that night, our Savior took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. As we share this bread and cup, O God, and as we remember Christ's death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit into our dispersed midst, that we who share these gifts may be fed and forgiven and strengthened to serve you. Amen. As Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass
against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen.
People of God, this table is God's table, and Christ is the host here. And that's true whether this table is here in this place, or is in your homes, or wherever you happen to be. This table extends all the way through our community. Christ is the host here, and so everybody is welcome at this table. Those of you who are by yourselves, wherever you are, just hold on for a second. Those of you who are with others, I invite you to share, to serve each other this feast, saying as you pass somebody else the bread, the body of Christ given for you, and as you pass them the cup, saying the blood of Christ shed for you. You can hear those words from me, so I invite you to take the bread now. The body of Christ given for you. And now I invite you to take the cup. The blood of Christ shed for you. Please remember, if you happen to only have bread or only have wine or grape juice,
that Martin Luther reminds us that God's forgiveness and mercy and grace are fully present in each element, so one is adequate and enough in this meal. Further, those of you who might not receive communion for whatever reason this morning, please remember and recognize that God's mercy and grace and love and forgiveness are made available to us in a plethora of ways additional to Holy Communion. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Thanks be to God.
Body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Thanks be to God. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, that once again you have fed us with food beyond compare, the body and blood of Christ. Lead us from this place, nourished and forgiven, into your beloved vineyard, to wipe away the tears of all who hunger and thirst, guided by the example of the same Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
May God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and lead us into the way of truth and life. Amen.
Send forth my God's blessing, a true faith confessing, the people of God from this dwelling take leave. The supper is ended, oh, now be extended. Fruits of this service in all who believe. The seed of Christ's teaching, receptive souls reaching, shall blossom in action for God and for all. Your grace shall incite us, your love shall unite us to work for your kingdom and answer your call. With praise and thanksgiving to God ever living, the tasks of our everyday life we will face. Our faith ever sharing, in love ever caring, embracing God's children, the whole human race. With your peace you feed us, with your light you lead us, that we share. And then may all the living with praise and thanksgiving give honor to Christ and his name that we hear.
Go in peace, remember the poor. Thanks be to God.